This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. We're glad you've tuned us in. Welcome to the program. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. And this program is available on my website and can be re-listened to there. There's a weekly meditation and other information that I think you would find helpful there as well. So you might want to write the website address or my mailing address down at the close of the program. Now, we've been looking at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, which says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." And we have been particularly interested in this matter of grace. I have taken the position that Peter ends his epistle with perhaps a very important injunction, and that we need to receive the grace of God before we can grow in the grace of God, but we need to look at the Lord to understand grace. We know that the word means unmerited favor or free gift. We know that it means favor, but we see grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's what Peter is trying to get us to draw, what he's trying to draw our attention to. We need to be people who not only have received the gift, but we need to be people who display the graces of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we can't do that unless we have a knowledge of him. And one of the things that we've been doing in order to gain a better knowledge of the Lord is we've been looking at Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in the New Testament with regard to the Lord's first coming. Now, last time we spent quite a little time on the fact that the Messiah would be called a Nazarene, not a Nazarite, but a Nazarene. And we showed that probably the fulfillment of that was found in the fact that he went and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. Now, it's interesting that the Lord dwelled in Nazareth, and in a moment we're going to see that a majority of his ministry was around the Sea of Galilee in the northern part of what's called Galilee, which was also a place that many Jews thought was sort of across the tracks. The Lord identified with those people who were not in the socially acceptable echelon of Jewish society. And so when we look at the Lord fulfilling this prophecy, we can see that even though the Lord was a Jew and had a Jewish pedigree and came from the line of Judah and from the line of David and from the line of Abraham, and even though he had all the credentials, yet he himself never took on heirs. But we read in Philippians, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the cross death. And the day's going to come where he's going to be highly exalted, and God is going to give him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And no, it's no wonder that Peter ends his epistle by saying, to him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. But we're looking at the Lord and his ministry, identifying with people that probably did not enhance his career a great deal. So, first of all, we noted that he came from Nazareth. That was a city where there was a Roman garrison, and probably fulfills the Old Testament scriptures where he would be despised and rejected of men. I know that's really fulfilled at the cross, but it was true in his life as well. He would be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Now, in connection with that prophecy, we want to look at what I have as the 19th Old Testament prophecy fulfilled in the New Testament. And that prophecy has to do with the fact that the Messiah would bring light to Galilee. But it's interesting, as you look at the prophecies having to do with Galilee, it seems to be Galilee of the Gentiles that is particularly in view here. Apparently, Galilee was divided into two sections, a northern section and a southern section, and the Lord did most of his ministering in the northern section, which was considered Galilee of the Gentiles. And you'll remember that Israel was divided basically into three provinces. You had Judea, which included Jerusalem, And then you had Samaria, which the Jews tried to avoid because that included a lot of people that they considered to be worshiping wrong, and they were people that had intermarried with the people from Babylon. And then we come, or Assyria and Babylon, and then we have the people in Galilee. And in the Galilean portion, we had the northern section, which seems to be Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 9, which says in verse 1, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." And we see the fulfillment of that in Matthew chapter 4, when we read from verses 13 and verse 16, the fulfillment of this. Matthew records, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, that is the Sea of Galilee, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. And from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of God, or for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And you'll notice that he was preaching that in Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, it's interesting that we often consider the basis of Christianity to be Jewish, and it is. The early apostles were all Jewish. The Lord was Jewish. And even when we come to the early church, it appears that the early church was primarily consisting of Jews. These Jews in Acts chapter 2, where the church was formed, had come from different provinces where they had been dispersed, but they had come back to Jerusalem, and it was primarily Jews that spread the gospel. But we find that Peter introduces the gospel to the Gentiles. At least that's what we normally preach. I'm not sure about what the gospel had been introduced to the Gentiles before that through the Ethiopian eunuch, but we'll skip that at this point, because the Lord used Peter to show to the Jews that the Gentiles were to receive the gospel and that they were not to be considered common or unclean. And so Peter was sent to a man by the name of Cornelius, who was likely a Jewish convert in Acts chapter 10, but he was a centurion, a Roman soldier. And when Peter was sent to him, they had an open mind with regard to these truths, and they told Peter, "We are all here present to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." They heard the gospel, believed it, and they apparently were the first Gentiles that were formally, can I put it that way, formally brought into the church. And yet the Lord had done much of his ministering in Galilee of the Gentiles. And even Paul then, later on, who became the apostle to the Gentiles, he would go first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. The gospel was to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. But even back here, we find that the Lord had an interest in Gentiles. Now, Gentiles are simply non-Jews. And today, we kind of think of the Gentiles as carrying the banner of the gospel into all the world. And we have many people who are trying to be missionaries to the Jewish nation and to the Jews in our lands. And many Jews are believing. And I personally suspect that if you were looking at the percentage of Gentile believers compared to all Gentiles, and the percentage of Jewish believers compared to all Jews, that you would find about the same percentage. It would be a small percentage that would believe in the Lord, because the Bible says that it's straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And broad is the gate, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And I don't think, whether it's Jew or Gentile, there's a tendency, I think, for every nationality to want to do what they think is right rather than believing the God of the Bible. That's too simple, that a Bible would be written explaining God's will, God's way of salvation, and that through that Bible we can know who God really is, because it would be a record not only of the history of Israel, it would be a record of the ministry and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord considered Gentiles, even though we have one situation where a lady came to him who was a Gentile and wanted her child to be healed, and the Lord had said that he couldn't cast the he couldn't allow her to partake of what was for the Gentiles. And she says, yes, but the Gentiles, or the dogs, eat of the crumbs under their master's table. And she was basically saying that even though she was a Gentile, she was willing to take the leftovers, but taking the leftovers still met her need, still saved her son. And even if you look at the Gentiles as having the leftovers, we have been greatly blessed through the gospel, through the ministry of Paul. And while he would go to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles, we know that the Gentiles have, because of the greater numbers of Gentiles, they have been the ones who have carried the banner of the gospel and who do most of the public ministering with regard to the New Testament truth that Christ came into the world to save sinners, which was what Paul preached. And so now as we look at this section, we see that the people who sat in great darkness have seen a great light. And then that light was illustrated in Matthew 4 and verse 17, which says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, some people think that repentance was only for the Jew, but God, it says in Acts, God commands all men everywhere to repent. And it's repentance that brings us to faith. We all argue with God about the issues of salvation. Some do it with regard to the issues of creation, and some do it with regard to the issue of ethics, and some do it with regard to the issue of the unprovable scientific nature of many of the things that we believe. But at the same time, people argue with God, and it isn't until they repent, and that is, they turn away from what they thought was right and their own idols and their own sin to the Lord Jesus and trust him, that they're saved. And this was a message that was given not in this area, which was the Gentile, the Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, I have no doubt that the Lord was most interested, and often was interested, in the Jewish people, but the crowds that followed him had to involve the Gentiles. And I'm a Gentile today, and I kind of feel like the Lord was considering me when this prophecy was being fulfilled. I realize it was fulfilled years ago, but I have repented and believed. I've come to the conclusion that God is right, even when it makes me wrong. And I've trusted in the truth that Christ died for me, and I'm saved. And I have received the same light that these who were in the Galilee of the Gentiles received. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We just trust that you will use it to thy glory, in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.